WBAI New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 o'clock, and stay tuned for Back of the Book, which is now weekly, right here.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all...
I know a whole bunch of people who need to go to prison.
Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin, and she is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a very heartfelt hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things here, although we're going to talk about one thing mostly, I think. You can find out a little bit more about what we're going to do by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. So you can go up to glib.com, and when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. At the top, it'll say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that, and you get to the webpage for this program. The archives and the WBAI website all seem to be functioning today. This is our 26th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded because the two of us don't want to get killed by COVID-19, so we're staying in as much as possible. And the radio station is shut down to most of us. Of course, it's recorded. And a recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And they're dangerous for various reasons, including a recently failed right-wing coup attempt. Holy hell. Well, we'll certainly talk about that. The big news of the week is we are back up to 106 followers. Yes, indeed. We had dropped down to 105 followers on Twitter, but then we got up to 106 followers. So someone unfollowed us and then someone followed us. And oh, my, that's the big news. The next public WBAI LSB meeting should be held on Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. That's this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Zoom. And Zoom compromises privacy and security. They're still talking about that LSB meeting having an executive session attached to it. I'm saying, no, don't do that. It's not legal. And we'll see what the hell happens with all of that. KPFTX.org will give you details. The COVID-19 pandemic really should still be the number one topic that everybody's talking about at this time, although the right-wing coup attempt is certainly tending to push it out of the way. But the numbers are still there, and they're getting worse, significantly worse. COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 88,589,250 on Friday, and worldwide deaths reached 1,907,608. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 21,776,072, and the death toll in America was 367,635, which means that 20,776 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. That's over 3,000 more dead than last week. And last week's total was 17,000 and change. So the death rate is accelerating at this time. And by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of these figures will be higher. And I think the accelerated death rate is a result of the Christmas surge and maybe the New Year's surge after that. Of course, people are still dying after spending months in the hospital, so some of the people dying probably got sick from traveling during Thanksgiving. Or they didn't travel, but they came into contact with somebody who did travel, and that person gave them COVID-19. I'm seeing some things on TV where people are getting out of the hospital after having spent maybe 9 months, 6 or 9 months in the hospital. So there are still people from the spring and summer who are recovering. And you have to figure there are also some people from the spring and summer who are dying. The super spreader events of the Trump rallies are probably showing up in these figures. Plus the July 4th, we don't care business from people. That helped to produce a bit of a surge. Hell, maybe it's possible that we aren't really seeing, at least in the death tolls, we are not yet seeing the Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's surges from those things. But still, 20,776 people died in America in a week. People are being amazingly stupid with this. I don't feel like it. I deserve this. I deserve to go see people. No, it's doesn't work that way. This isn't about mommy and daddy telling you not to do something. You know, you can't do this because you didn't clean up your room or something. That's not what this is. This is life and death, and also life and death for other people, and you're going to affect those other people. Yeah, people are amazingly stupid about this. And, of course, the disease vector in chief, Donnie Bonespur Trump, continues to pay no attention to this pandemic anymore, not even to his failed warp speed rollout of the available vaccines. Warp speed. He said they were going to get it 20 million vaccinations by the end of 2020. They got maybe a tenth of that. The warp speed isn't happening. It's nothing like warp speed. It's not impulse speed. It's like slow boat speed. This is so typical of incompetent people. People who get into a position and make great pronouncements and then can't begin to deliver. So we're all watching the rollout of vaccines go much more slowly. And of course, if there had been a real federal attempt to take charge of the pandemic issue, we would not be seeing things like this. If there had been just leaving things in place that had been in place, we would probably not have a pandemic at all. We probably would have had some tiny footnote about a virus that was spreading in Wuhan, China for a little while and then stopped.
This administration threw out the paper on what to do during a pandemic, that the panel that had been in existence in 2017 after dismantling it. They threw out the paper that had all the protocols for what to do.
Yeah, and because they've been having such huge turnover, none of the people who were briefed on this and taught about this, by the time the pandemic hit, none of those people were in the administration anymore. Nobody remembered any of this. They didn't have anything in writing anymore. And so, yes, the typical incompetent reaction. Well, we also have spoken about the stimulus related to the pandemic, and people are starting to see their $600 checks arrived. Uncle Sidney told us that his check has arrived, so Uncle Sidney got his $600. And so far, we haven't gotten ours. We're waiting. We have to wait for a paper check because of the way they do things. On the last program, we talked about the House passing a bill to make the stimulus checks $2,000 each instead of $600, because Trump had said it should be $2,000. So the Democrats said, we agree, that's what we've been saying all along. And so they did pass something. They did pass a fast stimulus check amendment in the House for $2,000 checks. And of course, it was dead in the Senate because that creep Senator Mitch McConnell refused to let it come up unless Trump's attacks on large social media companies were included in it. And he wanted also to include in it a law to investigate voter fraud in the election. Oh, yeah, voter fraud in the presidential election. As if nobody's heard about that before. As if all of those courts haven't said, get out of here with this crap. So Mitch McConnell, that's the guy who was doing it right there. What a creep. He also said he wouldn't allow the proposal for a $2,000 stimulus checks to be considered on the Senate floor because, quote, socialism for the rich is a terrible way to help those Americans who actually need help, unquote. Forgetting completely that in 2017, he and the rest of his pals in the right wing gave gigantic tax cuts to corporations that promptly pocketed the money and sent it overseas. It really is all so the same. We had some good news this past week with the election of Democratic Party candidates Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. This past week, they both got elected to the United States Senate from the state of Georgia. With their election, I think the checks to raise the stimulus money to $2,000 will be on their way pretty soon. Yeah, well, this is good. This is excellent. They're going to actually have to deal with doing stuff for real people instead of the giant corporations and the amazingly wealthy. And, you know, so things have happened this week. That it was very good. We were watching the election in Georgia, and it followed a pattern. You could see that early on, it was Warnock and Ossoff were doing very well, and then you saw the two Trumpoids catching up and going ahead just by a little bit. And this is, of course, because overwhelmingly people voted. They had 3.1 million people voting by mail ahead of time in Georgia, which apparently is more people than ever voted in Georgia, period, prior to that. And then the polls, because the Trumpoids don't want to send in, you know, mail-in ballots, so the Trumpoids showed up, and they started seeing that rise. And part of it is that the big places, the large, highly populated counties, it takes them longer to get their votes in. So the little rinky-dink places that have 200 people voting, well, what, an hour it takes? After the polls close, does it take them even an hour to get all that stuff and send it in? Very easy for them. However, when you got a million people voting in Atlanta and other big cities, takes a lot longer. And so we saw the Republicans ahead a bit, like 1 or 2%, sort of towards the end of the night. And then the results came in from the counties that had big cities in them, and all of a sudden it started catching up, and their leads got cut. And then Warnock and Ossoff went ahead and won. And this was so good. We watched that. We were very glad. And I think everybody should be very glad that these two people won. And yeah, Warnock is a sky pilot, and I would normally be very bothered by this, but he's going to be better than this right-wing creep, Loeffler, who is apparently the wealthiest senator. That takes some doing to become the wealthiest senator. And so she's the wealthiest senator, but she ain't going to be for much longer. I don't know when they swear them in. It's too bad they couldn't swear them in hours after the polls closed, but they have to go through some bureaucratic stuff and stamp it all out and all of that stuff. So it takes days after the election is over to get this all done. So they couldn't be there for Wednesday. In getting ready for the program over the past week, we had been pretty sure that our big Trump misbehavior story this week was going to be about his call to Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. Raffensperger is a Republican, of course. We know about this because it's been in the news enough. And Trump was calling Raffensperger, to change the vote count in the presidential election. Could this be a little more blatant? I mean, this is, you know, he really has seen too many Godfather movies. And I mean, this is stuff that you would see in 1930s movies about reform, you know, and all of that. Trump calls Raffensperger to try and get him to change the vote count in the presidential election. Now, he does this in January. The Electoral College had met on December 14th. That was it. And the state had certified all of those votes and the vote counts. And that's why they had those electors there who voted as they were supposed to. And the Biden-Harris ticket got all the Electoral College votes for Georgia, which, by the way, with or without them, Biden still wins. So Trump is calling Raffensperger and says he wants him to, quote, find, unquote, find 11,780 votes so that Trump could win Georgia by one vote. Because Trump had lost by 11,779 votes. Actually, I think his count is wrong. I think that would have made a tie. And this is Georgia, where they counted and recounted three times. So Georgia has one of the most tremendously checked vote counts of any place. Three times. And they all came out with Biden ahead by about the same amount. In fact, I think after one of them, he came out a little bit more ahead than he had been the first time. It is just amazing. It's amazing he would do this. And Electoral College on December 14th had made that drama-free determination that the Biden-Harris ticket had won the election by 306 electoral votes to Trump and Pence's 232. Trump then spent over an hour whining to Raffensperger about he needed those votes, those 11,780 votes. And he's whining, and, oh, come on, I just, give me a break, give me those votes. Oh, it's pathetic sounding. It's pathetic sounding, and it's also coercive. It's also, I believe, a criminal offense. And then the Washington Post broke the story of this obviously illegal attempt to rig an election after someone had sent the Washington Post a recording of the entire phone call. In the recording, Trump says, quote, "The people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, that you've recalculated," unquote. Yeah, recalculated. That's the new word from Trumpoids that means you've done something extremely illegal. Somebody who robs a bank and runs away with the money could say, oh, I simply had to recalculate how much money I was withdrawing, and the gun helped. This is just terrible stuff. He's telling them, people are angry, and you can say you've recalculated. Raffensperger said in reply, quote, "Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong," unquote. And it's so good that he said that. After that, Trump supporters started to demonstrate outside the office building where Raffensperger was doing his business. And then some people carrying rifles were spotted milling about on the other side of the building. So Raffensperger and his staff left the building because they feared violence from these people. Well, we thought that was going to be the big Trump story of the week. Turns out it wasn't. Now, last time on the last program, we were wondering if there might be some shenanigans at the rubber stamp approval on January 6th of the Electoral College vote on the election. We mentioned then that Trump was calling for all of the violent right-wing creeps to show up in force at the nation's capital. We said, yeah, this is going to be to boost his ego, and it will help the right wing to do a show of force in the nation's capital, have a big rally, say, yeah, here we are. Well, the right wing bad people certainly showed up. One hotel that's been a favorite place of the so-called Proud Boys group, where they like to stay at in Washington, D.C., shut down rather than accommodate the right wing hate group. They found other hotels, though. Probably found other rocks to crawl under, too. We all know that on Wednesday, while the count was going on, that Trump was holding a Bund rally, and it lasted for 4 hours and 9 minutes. There's video of it. I've looked at a lot of that video. God, it's really wearing to look at that video. We're home here, and Pickles of the North turns on the TV so we can watch them count, because we know what's going to happen there. There are these idiots who are saying, oh, we're going to challenge it. And what will happen is they challenge it, and if you get the senator and one Congress critter from a state that's challenging the Electoral College count, then the two houses of Congress split again, because they meet in a joint session. They split, and they debate it for 2 hours and then vote. And we know that the House is not going to vote to overturn this. So it's all just drama and theater. So they start doing that. On TV, they go to them, and they're starting to give their speeches about how, oh, the election is stolen, and all of this crap. And Pickles and I, you know, say, okay, this is probably enough of this. And Channel 2 went away from it. CBS said, okay, enough. And they went away and put on, what was it, a soap opera or something? And I said, let's see if anybody else is keeping on with it, because I wanted to see a little bit more. I wanted to see what these dopes were going to say. And so we get to it, and they're also finding the stuff on the floor of the House and Senate kind of boring. And they're going to people, what is this, political commentators saying what they think. And then they go and they say, oh, and we're hearing from, and I forget her name, this young female reporter. She's at the Capitol building and we're going to her and she is shaken. She's clearly not in a normal frame of mind. She's nervous and she's saying they pushed over what she refers to as the bicycle barricades. They're actually French barriers is the official name of those new kinds of barriers that they put up these days. And they're interlocking. They're very heavy and they're not like the old wooden sawhorses. They're big and they're heavy and they lock together. And the Trump people are coming down and she's supposed to be just covering. Oh, and they're marching, you know, it's supposed to be a rah, rah. And they're going to go rah, rah and march around the Capitol building after Trump and them have been jazzing them up with outrageous lies. And so they're coming through there and she was at the point where they were all supposed to be. And I guess she figured, well, I shouldn't go in there because they've knocked over the barriers and they're now moving toward the Capitol building itself. And so she's reporting on this and was saying, what the hell? Because it had been just pictures of these people walking down. It didn't look like a big deal. And then we get her report, and from there, of course, all hell breaks loose. They're marching up, and there are various, I guess, phase lines. That's what we'd have called them in the Army. Phase lines of the Capitol Police setting up a line and trying to keep what were then still sort of protesters from getting over that. But time and again, they overwhelmed the few cops. They had no problem whatsoever in kicking over the barriers and throwing them and all of this. And the same story keeps repeating. They keep coming up to the barriers, knocking them over, overpowering the police physically, hurting a lot of, I think they injured 50 cops and a bunch of them. I think 35 of the cops ended up in the hospital. One of them was killed. And this keeps happening, and we see the police on the front steps of the Capitol building, and they're getting pressed and getting pressed and getting pressed. I think also something that we didn't quite see, but which I've heard them talking about, was they're having the inauguration on the 20th, and they've already set up the part of all the seating and all the stuff for that. And apparently there's scaffolding around it still. And apparently a bunch of these people, the Trumpoids, get access to the Capitol building without going through anything. And so the cops are starting to now get outflanked. And well, you don't want to be outflanked because then you're completely surrounded. You don't know what these creeps are going to do. And so they're pushing the cops up the steps. And then the cops get up there and they try to stop them, but by now they're just so many of them coming up those steps. So the Capitol Police retreat inside the Capitol building, and on TV they're noting this. By now it's no longer just this one young woman who's down on the street level. We've got good shots of this, and they're saying, well, those are big bronze doors, and you know, you can't get through those things. And they're saying they can't get in, and we see the crowd going up onto the balcony of the Capitol building. And then there are those two, I don't know what you call them, sort of side balconies or something. They're coming down there and they're filling it all up and it's all jammed. And then they start trying to break in. And oh boy, that was something. Of course, as we all know, they get in through various means. They're breaking through windows, they're breaking through the glass and doors, and they're really just hammering and hammering. This is a sight that we haven't seen in America before. And at this point, they go from being rowdy demonstrators to being insurrectionists. These are insurrectionists rioting. It's an attempted right-wing coup. What they want to do, what they have been told to do, is go and make sure that Trump gets elected president. The House and Senate are talking about, the count of the Electoral College ballots. This is the votes. This is a 20 or 30 minute exercise of rubber stamping in previous times. And here they're making, you know, a stupid thing if they're going to talk about it for hours. And, yeah, everybody else says, all right, we'll stay here till the wee hours of the morning if we have to. And you'll just talk and we'll talk and then we'll just vote and we know how this is going to work out. And these people are attempting to stop that. And they are making their way toward the House and Senate rooms. And some of them, apparently, they've been studying the building. There are plans online. You can see it. It's not a big secret. It's not a secret building. And so they've been studying where everything is, and they knew right where to go to get into the House chambers and the Senate chamber. And so they start streaming up. There's video of one lone guard. He's all alone, and he has a steel whip with him, but that's all he's got. He's got all these guys coming at him. And at one point, they chase him up the top of the stairs. He raises the steel whip, and the guy stops, and blah, 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 blah. And others come up with him, and he's calling for help. He's calling for backup, and he doesn't get it for a long time. They are in the antechamber, or whatever it's called, of, I think it's the House, and that's where they finally get some more Capitol Police. But then the guy in charge starts negotiating with these insurrectionists, these people who are there rioting, attempting to prevent the election from being concluded. So it's all very crazy. It's all insane. And there are loads of pictures of people breaking out more windows. And to make it really strange, to show how these people's minds must work, they're also recording all of this. Some of them are live streaming all of this, and they're saying, here we are, look at me. One moron who managed to break into Nancy Pelosi's office is sitting in her chair at her desk with his feet up on her desk, and then he scrawls some stupid note on one of the file folders and leaves it there. And he's very proud of this. I'm glad to say he was arrested today. I hope he gets a very long prison term. Because this isn't simply, you know, some little crime thing. This isn't even simply breaking and entering in criminal trespass. If you do breaking and entering in criminal trespass, you get years in prison. Well, this was more than that. This was an insurrection. This was an attempted right-wing coup. You can't call it anything else. It was a right-wing coup attempt. Luckily, it failed. But it was a right-wing coup attempt. They got in there. They started smashing away at the windows in the doors of the House and Senate. In the Senate, they evacuated everybody to their bunker, which is there after 9/11. And they got them there right away. In the House, there are more people, and they didn't get them right away. But the cops in the House barricaded the door. And you can see them there with their guns out, aimed at people on the other side of the door. And those people are yelling at them, but they've got guns there. And then there's this one person. Her name is Ashley Babbitt. And she was in the Air Force. Ironically, she was an MP. That's military police. She would have been trained in riot control. She would have been trained in all of these kinds of things. And she decided that she was going to breach the House chamber while all these other people were there and the people in the House were trying to hide. And she starts going through the window in the door. They break the window in the door and she starts coming through it. And I'm very glad to say one of the Capitol building cops puts a round in her neck and she's shot and she goes flying back. And that's the last thing she does outside of being taken to a hospital where she dies. And that seems to get that crowd a little sobered up because whereas the Senate chamber was evacuated and it was flooded with these creeps, in the House chamber, they're still arguing while they have guys with guns aimed at them. And they're realizing those guns are loaded, those guns are aimed at them, and they will shoot. They should have shot more, in my opinion. And so it takes a while, and they are able to evacuate the House people. And then the creeps do get in, and they start tearing things up and stealing things and all of this. So, and then we have like 2 hours of them romping around. They urinate all over the place. They defecate all over the place. They smear fecal matter all over the Senate, all over the Capitol building, and they're tracking it around on their feet. And, you know, these are the people, these are the patriots. This is traumatic to look at. This is terrible to look at. This is an actual attempted right-wing coup d'etat in America. And the rest of the world sees it that way, too. And I've also looked at that Bund rally that Trump and them were holding for 4 hours. Trump Jr. and Rudy Giuliani got the crowds really riled up with one outrageous lie after another, mostly about how Trump's landslide election victory was stolen. And he also added during this rally, Trump said, yeah, the two Senate seats had been stolen the same way. Well, wait a minute. If you knew it was being done and you were watching it right there, how come they were able to do it? And he's talking about secret file folders that are inside the machines. And then they push a button when they need to, and it gets his stupid proposition is they wait until everybody's done voting, and they see how many people didn't vote, and they see how many votes Trump is ahead, and then what they do is they manufacture that number of votes and the names of the people who didn't vote, and they do this out of folders, file folders that are in the machines that print out these ballots and then count them. And, you know, this is completely nuts. This is the mentality of somebody who is mired in about the 1960s in terms of technology. There's no file folder inside these machines. They're machines. You don't have file folders in them. You don't have paper residing in them. But he can say this, and apparently his base is so stupid that they buy this. And so Trump Jr. and Giuliani are getting everybody all riled up. And then he tells them to go down. I'll be with you. But he wasn't. He went back to the White House and watched it on TV and apparently had a good time watching this. He said, I'll be with you there, and sends them marching toward the Capitol for a right-wing coup. And it failed, we're all very glad to say. The fallout of this is people died. I already talked about this Ashley Babbitt person who was trying to crawl through the door of the Speaker's lobby in the Capitol building. And they blew her away, at least. And probably bought time for getting people out, because at that point, these insurrectionists who were trying to overthrow the government for the right wing, they were cowed by the show of actual force and having the guns aimed at them then. And Nancy Pelosi said, many of our Capitol Police just acted so bravely and with such concern for the staff, for the members, for the capital of the United States, and they deserve our gratitude. But there was a failure at the top of the leadership of the Capitol Police, unquote. Yeah, this is like, how the hell? And the guy named Sund, who's in charge of the Capitol Police, well, he's quitting, really. I mean, Jesus Christ. I have heard that he and some other people may just be Trump supporters. That might have colored how they dealt with things here. So Officer Brian D. Sicknick, quote, was injured while physically engaging with protesters, unquote, the Capitol Police said in a statement. He later died. His death is being investigated as a homicide. So he got hit in the head, apparently. And he kept working and stuff, but from what, you know, and then he went back to the office and collapsed. So what happened was, as happens with head injuries sometimes, he got hit, he got concussed, and he didn't take care of it right away, and so it killed him. This is homicide. these people, this right-wing insurrectionist mob sent there by Trump and his pals, killed somebody. And also, we have other people dying. The other four people who died were all right-wing insurrectionists. I've already talked about Ashley Babbitt, who got rightfully blown away. Then you've got Benjamin Phillips, 50, of Ringtown, Pennsylvania, dies of a stroke. You've got Kevin Greeson, 55, of Athens, Alabama, dies of a heart attack during all of this. And then you've got Roseanne Boyland, 34, of Kennesaw, Georgia. She was trampled to death by fellow insurrectionists. They were pushing the police, and she got knocked over, and they just trampled her. People fell on her, and report is one guy walked over her, and she was just crushed by the other Trumpoids. And so there's a death through misadventure. And then, of course, it's understandable that some of those people would have heart attacks and strokes. They look like they can get them. This, by the way, is one of the reasons why I don't go into actions the way I used to years ago. Boy, oh boy, I could have a heart attack or a stroke pretty damned easily if I were getting all agitated and physically moving around. But I know better than to take my unexercised body and start stressing it out with stuff I used to do 50 years ago. Some of these folks, well, they don't have that experience, and they've managed to die. And so with all of this, with an actual right-wing coup attempt in Washington, D.C., we again have to say we need to remember that the Trump administration's behavior is not normal. It's really obvious it's not normal anymore. And now there looks like they're going to move to impeach him, and they should do that. They should impeach him, leave him on the record as having been the only president to be impeached twice. I hope that eventually he becomes the only president who goes to prison after his term is over. And that would be extremely good.
The other big factor in this that's been going on since he first threw his hat into the arena is that a large, large portion of his base are bleeping white supremacists and militia groups and militia wannabes. And apparently many, many of them showed up. And why they, you know, the authorities knew who his base is. They know who they are. They knew they were going to show up. They had weeks and weeks of notice. What did they think? They were just going to march around the Capitol and say, oh, we want Trump. We want Trump. And then when they pushed in there, where were all the other cops? The National Guard? Well, we know that Trump just ignored the request for National Guard. It was the vice president who finally okayed them going in there. But these people should have been, well, how shall I put it? They should have been gassed. They should have been, you know, they should have used as much tear gas as they had on hand. I mean, they should have done stuff, lots of those, what do they call them, flashbangs?
Yeah.
All the stuff that they used on peaceful protesters, yeah. You know? All the stuff that they use on people who were at all the Black Lives Matter demonstrations. They should have used all that stuff on these people, but they didn't. They didn't. And I mean, just from the get-go, seeing all this, like, a sea of white faces in their red hats, and seeing that one guard on the stairs inside who picks up his baton, and having this white mob chase him up the stairs. He's a black guard. That's sort of like, that's the whole thing in a nutshell. Because the people doing this, they think the South is going to rise again. I did not grow up here. I had to be told many years ago what that expression meant, because I did not know what it meant. And also, I've been thinking to myself and talking with R. Paul, all along these past 4 or 5 years, because it was 2015 when this first started getting going. Why do people act against their own self-interest? Why do they let themselves be manipulated by somebody like this, who is clearly, clearly, to us anyway, a narcissist who does not care about anyone else but himself? And that means the gates are wide open to doing anything he wants to anybody he wants. And we've seen this happen over and over again these past 4 years while he's been in office. Well,
yeah, they clearly, when people are demonstrating peacefully, they do things to them. And here, when there's an actual coup, it isn't even just, we're going to sit in your office. It's, we are going to prevent you from counting the Electoral College votes to, you know, say, okay, we've counted them, and the Electoral College says this. It's not a certification. The Electoral College did that. But it's just a counting, a simple counting, and saying, yeah, the Electoral College says this. They're trying to stop that. And it should be pointed out, you also had these young interns who were working there who had the presence of mind to grab all of that paperwork from the desks and all and bring that with them into the bunker. And you can see them, they have these big mahogany boxes that they put the ballots and stuff from the Electoral College in. And they said, yeah, if they had left that there, these right-wing insurrectionists would have burned it all, because it wouldn't have stopped it, because apparently they make 6 copies of these Electoral College votes. But it would have delayed everything, because they would have had to send a way to get this stuff back in. And so, yeah, they were stopped from being able to do that, at least. And, you know, I've been in plenty of demos where they've done stuff to us. And gee whiz, this is what is happening here.
We have both been in many, many demonstrations where there has been a rainbow of people in there.
Yeah.
And
we got gassed, we got maced, we got everything done to us, and these people...
They try and bring the horses over to trample you
and
make you move back.
Yeah, and Pickles here is quite furious, and you have some things you want to...
This is a very brief excerpt from from psychologytoday.com, and it's written by Jean Kim. She's an MD, a psychiatrist, and she works in Washington, D.C. However, she wrote this February 2nd, 2017. Why do people follow tyrants? History repeats itself because of human nature. And she makes many points, but I'll just give you about 3 or 4 of the points. So she says, one reason people follow tyrants is wish fulfillment and admiration of transgressive behavior and confidence. On some level, we may ourselves admire or envy the shark, even if we feel held back in our own lives for whatever reason from eating prey. Whether you are a secret shark lying in wait, seeing where you can bend the rules one day, or whether you envy what they win for themselves, confidence, power, or money, because you feel those are impossible goals for yourself, maybe you identify and admire predatory behavior on some level. Cowardice. Some people would rather stay in the seeming safety of the sidelines and let someone else run the show, perhaps due to fear of responsibility or retribution. This passivity can work to some extent in terms of hiding from initial attention or conflict, but it can be a dangerous way to enable tyrants to proceed unchecked. Power. There is a great appeal to aligning with others who also fall in line, who are in sync with the group in charge. Those followers enjoy basking in the glow of the successful leader's approval and clique acceptance, even when the leader's whims turn malicious or rely on putting others down. Lack of critical thought, logic, education. I think this might be the most important one.
Probably is.
It's easier to be exploited by a confident tyrant when you don't doubt or examine their statements or motivations with a critical eye. Unfortunately, many people seem fine with going along with the status quo, unwilling to stay informed or read about issues of importance or question items that don't make logical sense. So, along with the stupid and selfish people who don't wear masks, and by the way, this was a super spreader event, you have people who are stupid and selfish and willfully ignorant. And, you know, I guess they figure this is, they're on their way to having their white nation by doing this. Well, you know, there are too many people of goodwill who are going to see that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and going along with this, the various people like the Ted Cruz and all of them are saying, oh, it wasn't the Trump supporters. It was Antifa who came in and did this. Well, no, it's not. So you got guys with QAnon written on their bodies. You've got the QAnon crazies. You've got the various Trump crazies. You've got the white supremacists. And so then this one guy, I forget which idiot it is saying, yes, and the company that makes facial recognition software said they had found that Antifa was in there, was doing all the bad stuff. And then the company refuted that and said, no, our facial recognition examination showed up not Antifa, but white supremacists and neo-Nazis and people like that and QAnon people. And so that's... So it's just they lie and lie and lie, and this is what happens. And Trump needs to go to prison. Some of these other people need to go to prison. There was one idiot who is a state senator in West Virginia who's doing video of himself breaking in. He wants to be a part of a government, and yet he wants to help destroy the government of the United States. This guy needs to go to prison along with a lot of the others. The FBI has put out a big sheet of pictures, and they're saying, can you identify these people? And I hope people identify them, and I hope all of those people go to prison for long terms. So I had planned something else to do, but we got into talking about this, and oh well, it's taken a long time. So next time I think we're going to talk about why, besides the stuff that Pickles of the North read, about how Americans got so stupid. Next time. All right. Right now I think that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. We'll be back here 1 week from now. And we'll be hoping that there are no further attempts at right-wing coups over the next week. And on the 20th of January, we're going to get a new president. And then Trump can be arrested. Very fast, 1-516-620-3602. I'm reminded we have to pitch here. Please, if you can, call 1-516-620-3602. Say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you can pledge. You can become a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is a sustaining membership. You can pledge to send in, have your credit card or debit card charged for $5, $10, $15, $20 a month. And talk to them, 1-516-620-3602, and please do that. All right, that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. It's been a hell of a week, and we should be back here 1 week from now. Coming up next is, I believe, the
Ralph Nader Hour.
And at 7 o'clock this morning is Jim Froin's program, Hour of the Wolf, with all sorts of science fiction stuff in it. Although science fiction seems to pale compared to some of the reality of this past week. And for now, look out the window, enjoy the view, wear your mask, Be socially distant, take care of yourself, hold out until the vaccine shows up, and above all, remember what that outraged at the right-wing coup Dormouse said.
$10 a month. It's the price of a gigabyte of data for that iPad you never use. It's two overpriced coffees you ordered when you forgot to look at the menu. It's your overzealous attempts to meet the credit card minimum at the bodega on the corner. But $10 a month could be a lot more. Become a BAI buddy and commit to a recurring monthly donation to WBAI. This money will help us continue to broadcast the thoughts and perspectives of the progressive public. A BAI buddy is also not without perks. Your monthly contribution will earn you a WBAI tote bag and a member card offering Zipcar sales, discounted meals at select restaurants, and a handful of other benefits. You will also become a full voting member of WBAI, and our diverse programming will reflect your voice. Go to givetowbai.org and become a BAI buddy to support Free Speech Radio today.
He's cool. He's exciting.
This dude is bad.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan. On WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got funk.
Break him with the sound of the trumpet.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's... Okay, I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
I do my hair toss, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling?
And if you're headed out like Lizzo, you grab your cell phone, your keys, and your mask. And if you don't have a WBAI mask yet, call 516-620-3602 and order one in white or black. 516-620-3602 for a contribution of $35 to this listener-sponsored non-corporate radio station. These masks are cool. They're in black or white. They're 100% cotton. They have the saying, "Keep Free Speech Radio Alive" on them. And remember, when you head out the door, you grab your keys, you grab your cell phone, you check yourself, and you grab your mask, and you put it on.
I believe that we have got to mobilize a larger movement to reclaim the democracy.
radio broadcaster Bob Law.
Some of y'all have underestimated the value and the appeal of white supremacy. And you have no idea how strong white privilege and white supremacy is.
Tune in to From the Streets with Bob Law, which gives voice to a wide range of black and progressive political and cultural perspectives. That's 11 to noon Saturdays here over listener-sponsored WBAI New York.